Several months prior to the stroke, I had booked a public presentation at Fitchburg State College. It was scheduled for April 10, which marked the 4-month anniversary of my stroke. Needing a goal to work toward, I decided that this would be my first post-stroke public presentation, since it was my top priority to regain fluency with language. I made the decision that I would attend the Fitchburg gig and speak for 20 minutes. It was my goal to present in such a manner that the audience would not realize that I was a stroke survivor. Although this was an ambitious undertaking, I thought it was reasonable. I embarked upon multiple strategies to accomplish this feat. First, I had to do something about my hair. For the first few months following surgery, I was setting a new fad for hairstyle. Because the surgeons had shaved only the left third of my head, I looked quite skewed. However, if I combed over what remained on the right, I could hide the 9-inch scar. The fun part was trying to figure out how to disguise the new little hairs peeking out through the comb over. It was pretty obvious that I was partially buzzed, but by April, I was sporting quite a cute little coif. I don't know if my hair gave me away that afternoon or not, nor whether anyone wondered about those two Frankenstein-like stereotactic dents in my forehead. The stereotactic apparatus is the large halo device physicians use to hold the head perfectly still during surgery. I worked very hard to prepare for that Fitchburg presentation. My first challenge was to speak clearly and intelligently to an audience, and my second challenge was to be an expert about the brain. To my good fortune, I had given a major presentation that had been professionally videotaped at the National NAMI Convention just a few months prior to the hemorrhage. My primary strategy for recovering my speaking skills was to watch that video over and over again. I studied how that woman, me, on the stage, worked with the microphone. I watched how she held her head and body and how she walked across the stage. I listened to her voice, the melody of how she strung words together, and how altering her volume moved her audience. I learned how to do what she did by watching her. I learned how to be me again, how to act like me and walk and talk like me again by watching that video. As for the content and brain expert part, I learned a lot about the brain from that presentation, but I was no expert. The videotaped presentation itself was way too much information and way over my head. I had to wonder if that's what folks in my audience thought, too. I did learn, however, how to pronounce those scientific words, and after repeated viewings, I understood the story she was telling. I really enjoyed learning about brain donation, and silently wondered if Gigi would have donated my brain to science had I died on the morning of the stroke. I laughed out loud every time I heard the brain bank jingle and felt pangs of grief that that woman no longer existed. In the best style I could, I put together a 20-minute gig that I practiced day in and day out for over a month. As long as no one interrupted me or asked me any questions about the brain, I thought I could get by without anyone detecting signs of my recent stroke. Although I was rather robotic in my movements, I didn't miss a beat with my slides, and I walked away from Fitchburg feeling triumphant. Although I did not qualify for occupational or physical therapy, I spent significant time in speech therapy for 4 months following surgery. Speaking was less of a problem for me than reading. Gigi had already taught me the letters of the alphabet and the sounds that go with each of those squiggles, but stringing them together as words and then adding meaning was really more than my brain wanted to handle. Reading for comprehension was a disaster. On my first meeting with my speech therapist, Amy Rader, I was to read a story that had 23 facts in it. She had me read the story out loud and then answer her questions. Out of 23 questions, I scored 2 right. When I first started working with Amy, I could read the words out loud, but not attach any meaning to the sounds that came out of my mouth. Eventually, I could read one word at a time, attaching a meaning to that sound, and then go on to the next word. I think a lot of the problem was that I could not attach one moment to the next or think linearly. As long as every moment existed in isolation, then I could not string ideas or words together. From the inside, I felt as though the reading part of my brain was all but dead and was not interested in learning again. With the guidance of Amy and Gigi, week by week, I took the steps I needed in order to achieve my goals. It was very exciting because regaining vocabulary meant regaining some of the lost files in my brain. Just trying exhausted me, but slowly, word by hard-fought word, files were opened, and I was reintroduced to the life of the woman I had been. With Gigi patiently steering from the helm, I found my way back into the veiled crevices of my gray matter.